we recently saw footage of the upcoming Gotham Knights video game. Mm-hmm. With you and I being nerds of all varieties, we are not just comic nerds or movie nerds, we're also video game nerds.
Very true, very true.
Yes. What were your thoughts upon seeing the new footage from the Gotham Knights game?
It looks pretty fun.
Yeah.
Looks like it's going to be another fun development. Try to remember, which studios is making this one?
I believe.
And is it the same as the one who's made the other Arkham games?
Trying to remember, because this and the Suicide Squad game are basically in development at the same time.
Yeah.
So the answer to your question is kind of yes and no. It depends on which studio is doing this one. I think that WB Montreal is doing this one. WB Montreal is the same studios that did Arkham Origins.
Mm. Okay.
And I believe that Rocksteady is doing the Suicide Squad game. They did the other Arkham games.
Okay. I mean, they feel very similar, just from like the gameplay and the short footage that we saw. They're taking some liberties. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw some things. It's not super spoilery, but I'm not comfortable enough to talk about it here yet. Mm. I'll let players kind of go and spoil themselves and just take us at our, you know, voice value that, not face value, get it? That, that it looks fun. It looks like it's going to be a dope game. Like, they definitely did some things that you're going to scratch your head at, like, wait, does that make sense?
Right.
Fuck it, whatever. Rule of cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's about it. You know, there's some rule of cool there, which is, you know, video game-esque. But, yeah, man. It looks like it's going to be fun. I'd like to see more on the Suicide Squad. I don't have many comments on that yet.
Yeah, no gameplay footage on that yet.
Yeah.
It's been pushed back till next year, so I guess we'll see when we see.
Yeah. And when does Arkham Knights come out?
I believe October is the current release date. So that's, you know, October, that's usually the beginning of video game season, what I call it.
So, nerdy homies out there, mark your calendars.
Yes, for sometime in October.
Every homie listening, mark their calendar.
Good. You guys are doing well. No, the game to me looks really good, though. I enjoy what I've seen so far.
Yeah.
Obviously, still in, I don't know, what stage would you call this?
Developmental purgatory.
I was going to say, well, purgatory is shit. That means that we're never getting that shit. yeah, it's not pre-alpha. Pre-alpha was kind of what we saw like almost a year ago. I remember seeing footage, like pre-alpha footage of the game a year ago, a little bit over a year ago, actually, around the time that DC Fandom, the first one, came out.
Well, and it's not pre-alpha. I can make up a term for you if that makes you feel better.
Well, I was just going to say that, like, I remember seeing the footage back then of it was like
right,
them fighting. It was specifically Batgirl, I remember, doing like a Mr. Freeze boss fight. And I don't know if they had any changes to that. I mean, it looks like they changed a lot since then, but I do wonder if they're still keeping like the same kind of concept for the combat there. But it looks like it's definitely better. From what I saw in the pre-alpha. The pre-alpha shit kind of looked a little live service-y, you know, which is never a good thing.
Yeah.
But the gameplay footage now looks more true to form for the, like, the Arkhamverse, or I guess in this case, the Gothamverse. Mm. So, looking forward to seeing what they do with that. Four playable characters.
Hooray!
And co-op.
Try to remember the four. We got Nightwing, we got Red Hood, we got Batgirl, and we got Tim Drake.
Yep.
Well, Robin. I called them all by their super name, so might as well call him Robin.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Admittedly, I don't know why the fuck I'd want to play as Tim Drake if I got Nightwing and Red Hood. And potentially Batgirl. Like, I don't see the appeal.
No? Okay.
Nah. Bro. Red Hood. What are we talking about?
It's hard for me, man, because like I'm such a fucking fanboy of all the Bat Fam, so it's hard for me to really put one
say
over another.
Say that three times fast.
Bat Fam.
No, fanboy of the Bat Fam. Fanboy Bat Fam. Fanboy Bat Fam. Yeah.
I wasn't even paying attention when I said it slowly, so there's no way I could do it concentrating, like a concerted effort.
Right.
what has me worried isn't the game itself. I think the game's actually going to turn out to be pretty, pretty fucking cool.
Cool.
I have a lot of high hopes and a lot of faith for this game. By the way, I've called it off mic. I'll call it on mic. I'm putting my money down that Bruce Wayne is going to be the final boss fight. There's no way that motherfucker's dead. Or I could be in denial. But I highly doubt that he's dead. He's probably just an agent of the Court of Owls, putting my money in that pile.
Considering what we know of the Court of Owls, no spoilers to the homies who don't recognize the name, I'd say that's a within reason bet.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. But what does have me worried is the fact that the CW is like, yeah, we're going to do a TV show based on this video game.
No, I'm fuck like, them. Fuck them. Fuck David Berlanti, whatever the fuck his name is.
Greg, yeah, that's your arch nemesis. You can't forget his name.
No, fuck him. He's so unimportant to me. He doesn't get the memory.
Oh, man.
Fucking Greg.
Yeah, what so. An asshole. They are getting a CW TV show, and I'm just, you know, I might watch that just out of a morbid curiosity.
I won't.
I was about to say,
I'm good, man.
Yeah.
Unless I hear just the most, like, balls to the walls review, like, man, this show is incredible, or, man, this show is incredibly stupid, then if it's either extreme, it'll pique my curiosity, mm-hmm. knowing me. If it's anywhere in the middle,
I don't know, man. Like, if it's on the far extreme of being bad, you might not watch it because you never watched Batwoman.
I didn't need to.
But I'm saying, like, if this is Batwoman bad,
then you're right. I'm probably not going to waste my time.
Yeah.
Probably going to be like,
so the spectrum only goes one way.
Yes.
Only okay.
I think this is fair.
Yes. I'm just clearing it up, okay?
Okay.
All right, yeah.
I mean,
so
I'm glad that we're no longer confused.
I mean, because you just said if it's really good or really bad, you might watch. But I'm like, no, if like it's really
dramatically
bad. Batwoman.
I mean.
As someone who watched it, yeah, trust me.
It was dramatic. I mean, okay. I mean, I don't know if that's dramatic because in my brain, it was like, I was expecting that.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. Well, a shit show is a shit show. Nothing to make into a t-shirt there, bro.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. It's like, man, what do you mean the motorcycle on fire exploded into fire? Man, fuck. What do you expect, man? It was a stupid stunt.
Motorcycle on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Think of the metaphor. There you go.
Yeah. Sure. but yes, shout out to CW and, okay. I'm sure that show will be, a show with people in it.
Why'd you give him a shout out? I'm offended.
Hey, listen, we don't hate CW here. We just dislike the content that they put out nine times out of 10. All right. Yes. That is speaking for only half of the homies present
there
here.
Yep.
Watch,
we're going to get some hate review. The CW's not that bad, guys. Okay. Thank you for your review, homie. Anyways.
Who knows? Probably. There was one more thing I want to talk about here, just to kind of shift focus a little bit to Marvel before we kick things off proper.
Sure.
And that is, you and I discussed this, this particular meme going around. And, you know, I remember seeing this meme, and then later on you and I, we discussed this meme, and it was quite the interesting thing, because, you know, obviously in 2022, shit, for the past dozen or so years, a meme, as we all know, is just a new form of a joke, and the reason why jokes are funny is because there's a sliver of truth in the joke.
Yeah.
And it makes it relatable and understandable and funny because it's from a different perspective. Boom. It's a joke. And the reason why I'm just making comparisons for memes to jokes is because this particular meme was the one about Miss America Chavez. The meme that was talking about how, you know, you have this. You remember. Yeah, it was essentially a meme about how America Chavez is stirring a character of Hispanic descent, whose power is essentially crossing borders. And her parents had the rare thought to name her America, because what the fuck is greater than America? And you know, it's a meme, and it's just a joke, and it's supposed to be funny, and it is funny. But I'd be damned if there isn't a lot of goddamn truth in that statement. And you know, this is the shit.
Good night, folks. We're done. That's your episode. Right. Hit us up. Leave us a review. Give them the fucking outro.
Oh, shit.
We gave the homies a lot to think about. Some of them won't sleep tonight.
This is the weird shit that we speak of, though. The weird shit that Marvel has been up to.
Yeah.
I mean,
It's so far trying to not be extremist that it became extremist again.
Yeah, like, yeah. These people are so woke that they don't realize that what they just did was they made right-wing satire. That's how America Chavez comes across, as right-wing satire. And I'm like, it fucking kills me how they don't get what they just did when they created that character.
The funny thing is, it's like the word just is not necessary there. How long has America Chavez been out and about?
Yeah, that's true.
How many years, though?
She was created 2014.
So, bro, for almost a fucking decade, this joke has existed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not to say the character's a joke, but, I mean, it might equate to that whenever you start breaking it down as much as we typically do, because it's like, congratulations. Like, that meme exists now. That, like, we are talking about it. And the problem there, too, admittedly, we're a big old fire truck putting gas on the fire because
we're breaking down the meme.
Exactly. Yeah. We're breaking down the meme. And we're having a broadcast that talks about that to a bunch of ears.
Yeah.
And so more and more people are going to realize that. Mm-hmm. And more people are going to see that shallow fact of a character. And it's like, well, fuck, there goes your America Chavez. There goes the entire perspective that I don't remember whomever the fuck did whenever they created her.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
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 And
it's
very ironic.
It is. It's a tragedy. It's literally like a funny ass modern day dumbass Shakespearean tragedy. Where you're like, there's a comedy to this, but it is a tragic comedy where it's like, wow. You made a character that was trying so hard to not be a stereotype that it is exactly that.
Yeah, I mean, when you really break it down, and if you look at it from a certain perspective, you can find that character to be, no pun intended, borderline offensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because, again, like, it's hard to not see her as right-wing propaganda. I'm convinced that Marvel, they're not far left. They are far right, and they're pretending to be far left. That's why they keep doing this dumb shit.
We should do an episode on this before Kevin Feige sues us.
Right. But, you know, just one more example that didn't get off the ground, thank fucking goodness, was the New Warriors made by Daniel Kibblesmith.
What a shit show.
Oh, what a fucking, they were
That's a shit show right beside the Gotham Knights TV show.
But Marvel was so proud of that comic book that they put out a trailer for it on YouTube, and it got downvoted to oblivion. This is before YouTube disabled
one of the things that made the disapproval button.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tabled as a discussion for let's get rid of this shit.
Right.
Once Disney got behind that and said, wait a minute, what do you mean something we put money into got downvoted? What?
Got downvoted how hard?
Yeah.
But
we're going to buy that down button away.
But thank goodness, though, that it did get downvoted like that. And thank goodness for Disney and Marvel that it got downvoted that way. Could you imagine if there were no dislike button? They would have actually printed that shit.
Oh, yeah. No, like in that time frame, yes, I know what you mean now. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine what it's like to have no dislike button. I can't dislike shit now. Right. Apparently, I have to like everything.
Yeah.
A like or skip.
Which is funny. You can still dislike, but you don't see the ratio. Yeah. But and for those of you who aren't familiar with the new Warriors, they were just like a new incarnation of the original New Warriors, which were a really cool team of young teenage comic book characters that came out back in the day. I mean, dare I say, maybe Marvel's attempt to compete with Teen Titans definitely could be compared to that. But they were
Raven would have whooped that ass, right? And cyberbullied them.
I'm referring to the original New Warriors, like the good ones. But they were,
never mind. Ooh, that's a better fight. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. They were a really cool team, man. And what's even cooler about them is that we get to see them throughout the years go through different trials and tribulations. Hell, they were the team who were partially responsible for, I say partially, damn near fully responsible for the Civil War. Richard Rider wasn't there. He was, out in space dealing with, like, Annihilation Wave and all that shit. But, like, the rest of the New Warriors, well, most of them, you know, they were still on Earth trying to find some type of relevancy. Started up a TV show, like a reality TV show, them taking down, you know, like C&D-list villains. They come up against Nitro. The fight takes place in a schoolyard. Nitro goes, "Oh, you want to fight?" And then he blows himself up.
Yeah.
Several of the New Warriors die. One of them becomes...
Out of context. "Oh, you want to fight?" Click.
Yeah. You know, kills 600 children and you know, people. A couple of the New Warriors die, and the ones who survive go through radical changes, I mean, as you can imagine. But they're a catalyst for that. You know, we get to see Richie Rider, you know, how he is affected by just growing up and being the only Nova Prime, and how he fucking handles that. It was just cool seeing him, you know, kind of like Peter Parker grow up from a teen to a boy, and as well as the rest of the New Warriors and what they're up to. But with the new Warriors that Marvel tried to release, and homies, I kid you not, these are legit names and ideas that Marvel, the self-proclaimed House of Ideas, actually came up with. They came up with a character named Trailblazer. Kevin, she was a fat girl, and her name was Trailblazer.
She ain't blazing shit.
And she has her power. She has a magic backpack. She's goddamn Dora. Okay.
I forgot about that. Yeah. What did the magic backpack do?
I don't remember. It held her snacks or some shit. I don't fucking know.
It's funny because it's like,
is this supposed to be satire?
It kind of was, because it's like, no offense, but if I went on a hike, I think I could trailblaze past you. You know?
But there was another character, Kevin, who was an emo vampire computer nerd named B Negative. Get it? Vampire, blood, B Negative. He's emo kid.
Earlier we made mention about Teen Titans potentially being like the team that the New Warriors were, like, quote unquote, like, combating as far as like marketing and like Marvel versus DC Comics. Bro, fucking Cyborg would have cyber bullied the fuck out of B Negative.
Yeah. And of course, who can forget about Safe Space and Snowflake? Again, I am not making this shit up.
Safe Space was the one that would have been cyber bullied. I don't know what B Negative was all about.
Yeah, I forget. He was some kind of vampire of some sort.
Was he? No, it was...
One of them had, like, internet gas.
Yeah, that's Safe Space, I think. That's Safe Space.
Okay.
Snowflake. Snowflake was had some trans. Kind
of, there was... Maybe Snowflake was trans. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they were.
Could be.
I'm pretty sure that was
I thought they were, like, brother and sister or something like that, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Because, you know, they had to break norms. So, like, the boy wore, like, this pink leotard, and the girl wore this... This blue green leotard,
or blue?
I think it was blue. Yeah, yeah. It was very lazy, and also all the designs were very lackluster as well. But that's completely another thing. Yeah. And there was like somebody else in the team too. But like just from those examples, you gotta see why the new Warriors never really made it off the ground. It was trash from the get go. And the only thing scarier than the fact that somebody thought it was a good idea, that enough people thought it was a good idea, that they decided to release a trailer for it and thought that it would actually get published.
You know who else thought that was a good idea, Q?
Who's that?
The fucking
DARE. The people who are just like, no, we're going to try to encourage kids not to do drugs. Oh, these look like some bumfuck stupid characters we could buy up to encourage our entourage, our you know, our business. Mm. Yeah. Like, these are like the lackluster, lazy characters we could use to just be like, yeah, D, I won't do drugs.
Right.
You know,
A, don't have an attitude.
R, you will respect yourself.
E, I will ejaculate. No, that's not it. That's not it, is it?
All the schools.
Oh shit.
I will educate myself.
That's my second guess.
I know it wasn't. I was trying, bro. I was pointing to my brain. But yeah, okay.
Sometimes it takes a lot of brain power to properly ejaculate. You gotta have your head in the game. Otherwise, could be shooting blanks. But yeah. what was I was gonna say? Yeah, one more thing about the New Warriors, and just kind of bring this thing all the way back around to America Chavez, is just the fact that when the New Warriors came out, it wasn't even so much that all of the many, many, many downvotes that affected this release, but it was also the fact that the people who Marvel were trying to pander to, a lot of them felt greatly offended at what Marvel was doing. Because it was fucking dumb.
Yeah.
And they boiled those characters down to just a few generic points that they think...
their sexual identities or their traumas.
Right.
And that's all they were.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine the lack of fandom that all these comic books and graphic novels and superheroes would have if all Captain America was like representation of PTSD. Or if all that Tony Stark was representation of alcoholism.
Right.
Or the Hulk, anger issues.
Yeah.
You know, if you boil these characters, these beloved gems of fictional society down to their closest, quote unquote, relatable issue or, you know, darkest attributes, then no one would give a fuck about these things because no one wants to, like, peel themselves away from their nonfiction life to live in this fantasy world with only nonfiction relativism, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not trying to feel good by reading about woe is me. I'm great at sucking back vodka and beating people because I'm angry as fuck. No. I want to hear about the Hulk fighting Wolverine.
Right.
And Iron Man building fucking the war machine and like going to town on shit. That sounds amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. What a lot of these new creations are, they're equivalent of like the Winnie the Pooh characters, you know?
You said new Christians?
No, with these
new characters. I got very confused. I was like, what?
Oh, yeah, man. These new Christians are fucking...
fuck, man. Like, whoa, bro. Yeah. Whoa, pull the plug.
But yeah, a lot of these new characters are they just feel like Winnie the Pooh characters. How, like, you have one who's really sad, one who's super excited, right. One who's this, one who's that. Like, they all
represent... which is funny, because Winnie the fucking Pooh was a better character than that. Right. Old bother. You know, he was dope.
He ain't ever wear no pants.
I mean, he was a teddy bear, bro.
Oh, that's an excuse now.
I mean,
but when I do it, it's a problem.
Yes. How do I have to explain this?
Oh, homies, welcome to the Superhero Homies Podcast. My name is Quentin, and as always, I am here with the homie Kevin.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome. Now that we are 24 plus minutes in, welcome to the show. How are we doing today?
We are doing wonderful. You know, just getting warmed up.
Yeah.
Just whetting your appetite for the main event, homies. For the main fucking event of the evening.
Indeed. Which luckily isn't us bitching about CW or the new Mutants. Which honestly, it sounds like we just could have gone on for the rest of the fucking night, but you know.
Oh, yeah. All that negative energy, though, would have just poured
out. We just would have been bitching the whole night.
Yeah.
What was us?
I say that, and then we come to tonight's discussion.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Which, at least on my side of the thing, of the table, would not be all negative. There may be some springing in here, but it's more of constructive criticism. But this is an episode that I think is overdue. We've done an episode of this type a few years ago, I think maybe back in 2019, after Endgame. But this is an episode that I think now is the perfect time to do it, and that is the state of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So we're going to have a conversation about different talking points here tonight about how the MCU is looking and what we think, you know, may or may not happen in the future concerning the quality of the content and just kind of what we can expect moving forward.
Right. And honestly, it is a great time to have this discussion again, homies. And please hear us out as to why. Because the MCU, though it is the beloved MCU, the household name, everybody's got at least one favorite movie of this whole new genre of movies. It's changed so much over the years, even over the couple of years since the last time we discussed this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, because it was only maybe 2, maybe 3 years ago, but it feels like just...
It feels like an entirely different decade of movies.
Yeah.
Which... Anyways.
Technically, well. Yeah.
I realized what I said after I said it, and I was like, I mean, but no.
So, I wanted to start off this discussion hot. No need for foreplay. And I want to go ahead and ask you...
You had 24 minutes of foreplay. Yep. But what's up?
Kevin, in your opinion, has the Marvel Cinematic Universe peaked?
So, that is...
It's a loaded question.
It's a very loaded question. It really is. I'm glad we're talking about how loaded of a fucking how dare you question that is. One, because how dare you? Two, who gave you the right? Three, great question. Because it needs to be talked about. As of this moment, and as of this moment, homies listening, it is us recording May the 16th in 2022. So I'm dating my answer because I don't know the future. It will hopefully change because, as you can surmise now, my answer is yes. It has peaked. And I have a couple reasons why. I'm going to boil it down to the biggest, most important ones, though, just so I don't ramble with the rest of the night episode, because this is such a loaded question that I could answer it and then brace it and then over-explain. So we're just going to shut me the fuck up. It definitely has peaked. In the first, in the entire first phase of the movie, that's what I'm just calling the first 12 years.
The Infinity Saga, basically?
Yeah, thank you. Well, thank you. That's probably the more accurate term, the Infinity Saga. Thank you, Q, for the rescue. I rhymed on purpose. So, in other words, from Iron Man 1 all the way over to the combination of Infinity War and Endgame, that was an exceptionally historical collection of storytelling and movie, just everything. It was phenomenal, you know. Everything that they did was leading up to this very nice, very well-planned point. Some of it felt like it was going off the seat of his pants. Some of the differences between the character from their first movie and then the next movie, all of a sudden, oh, the character seems a bit better fleshed out now, you know. It had a lot. It had a lot riding on it, you know? Right. And Disney and Kevin Feige and Marvel's points of views, it had to be the big banger because they were going all in on this. Now, the big banger came and went, it happened, and now they're constantly trying to reattain that status. They're constantly trying to have another Endgame. We, in so many words, have even said, this is going to be this year's big flick, this year's wannabe Endgame, you know? Or an in-game level event-having movie, like we thought Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness was going to be and shit like that. Now, personally, I feel that Marvel has begun the staging of over-planning, that there's a lot trying to, like, to be orchestrated into all this now, and they're trying so hard using their streaming service, using the other movies, using all these other characters, and even like taking characters that aren't very popularly known, washing them the fuck out and reimagining them as like, this is the big screen version, not the comic book version, but then the comic books will catch up and make a new version more accurate to the big screen.
Right.
Yeah. So, no, as of right now, because of the energy, because of the passion, because of like, the more natural feel the stories went into, the Infinity Saga was the cream to the crop. It was the it was not the magnum opus yet. I bet they can do it again, but as of right now, I don't see it. You know,
yeah.
I personally don't see them doing it again. In other words, to go back to your question, it feels like they have peaked. It shouldn't feel that way because there's a lot more we can do. There's a lot more in the chamber that we could be playing with that we're not yet, you know? Maybe we haven't gotten there yet. Maybe they have the idea, and that'd be cool. But as of right now, brother, we hit Kilimanjaro, and we're on the downslope.
So, I guess let me follow up with another question that is, if they have peaked, is that really such a bad thing? Like, if the best you can do is Iron Man 1 leading all the way up to the crescendo, which is Infinity War and Endgame, yeah, I think that's 12 years of buildup that they did.
True.
Like,
true.
Is that such a bad thing if they peak? Because, you know, just for your homies here, you know, a peak doesn't necessarily mean it's a sudden death drop after that, but a peak at bare minimum means that you've leveled off. Like, so
I mean,
it doesn't have to be.
To be fair, I don't believe they've leveled off. I believe that they came up, they hit a point, and they came down some. I won't say they came that far down. I won't say that they came so far down that we're back to Iron Man 1 and Iron Man, like, fucking Captain America and Thor 1 and all this other stuff. No. Like, I'll give you that, that we've hit the peak. We've come down only some, sure. Because now all the movies have, like, a certain expectation that they have to do, that they have to fulfill. The cut scenes, the cameos, the Easter eggs, the relative to the comics, etc. But I won't say that none of them, or even like any that are in the chamber that we know of that are going to be coming out later this or next year, none of them have that same magnetism, that same like impact, importance as Endgame or Infinity War did, you know? And it's not necessarily a bad thing that, just answer the second part of your question there, it's not necessarily a bad thing that they peaked, you know, and that's okay. Even if the quality did get lesser in the storytelling, the acting, you know, the productions, whatever the case, sure, like, that's not a bad thing. They're still good movies. A Marvel banger, okay, excuse me, a Marvel shit show still makes more money than some other box office hits, you know. That being said, the bad news about that is that more and more people are going to understand that eventually. More and more of the MCU fan base. Notice I labeled it the MCU fan base, not necessarily the comic fan base. Comic fan base will ride and die. They've seen the pattern, and they'll keep with the shows and the movies and just be diehard fans.
Or they won't.
They might not, but that's what I'm getting to. The MCU fandom will get bored. You know, everything has a pattern. No empire lasts forever. And unfortunately, that also holds true, less more metaphorically, with the Hollywood empire of the superhero genre. Eventually, more and more of the fan base is going to burn out. And with the lesser quality movies being accepted and being pushed from Hollywood, eventually people are going to be like, oh, this wasn't as good as that. Oh, that wasn't as fun to me. I didn't like that as much. And the divide is going to split the audience. And the comic book fans are going to love it. The comic book fans are going to be like, well, hell yeah, I'm still going to go see Blade 4, you know, with Mahershala Ali's son helping him out with whatever the fuck. I don't know. I'm making shit up.
Right.
But, yeah, in my personal opinion, patterns repeat themselves for a reason. That's just human nature. And I feel like it's going to be human nature that the movies, they had their big, amazing, dramatic moment, and they're trying to hold on to that candlelight, but it's lessened. It's not as strong as it was in Game and Infinity War. And more people are going to get understanding of that and patient with it. And then that's the downside. That's where I'm seeing this as like a potential powerful negative if we don't get our shit together. That being said, it's not a bad thing. It can't last forever. On the other side of that philosophical coin here, that just means decades down the road when you and I are old-ass men and, you know, the movie telling story, like the movie making technology and the podcasting technology and everything there within has increased so vastly that this shit would be popular to just redo again.
Yeah.
And it might be
way better the next go around, you know? However, movie watching is going to look at that point. I don't know. It might not be that dramatically different. You get what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Then. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think for me, if I had to answer the question, do I think the MCU has peaked?
Sure.
First of all, I would say, yeah, like you, for the time being, I would say yes. But my reasoning is maybe to be not so critical of Marvel, even though there's definitely room for criticism. But my reasoning is also for the fact that I can't expect something Infinity War or Endgame level when it took Marvel 12 years to give us something Infinity War or Endgame level.
That's fair. Yeah. And that's a great point. Yeah. At that point, it kind of boils down to your opinions of the newest movies.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not they uphold as good Marvel movies in comparison to their, like, potential counterparts that aren't Endgame or Infinity War.
Right.
Like, comparing them to the Iron Man ones, comparing them to... like the Avengers 2, or Age of Ultron, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever the case. So that's totally a valid point.
But, you know, seeing that Marvel is now, you know, and that's the tricky thing about this new phase, this phase 4, is that obviously phase 3, that was the capstone. That was the thing that led up to everything, you know? Like, mm-hmm. that was the whole reason. We are here to see the culmination of all these different movies, you know, coming together. You know, what's going on with these Infinity Gems? You know, what's going on with this guy named Thanos? What's he going to do? What's it going to be about? Holy shit, that was Infinity War. Now we got to finish off with Endgame. And me personally, I've seen several fans of the MCU who said, man, that Infinity, the Infinity Saga was really good. But, you know, I'm good now. I've had my fill.
Right.
And a lot of them kind of, you know, drifted off after that.
Yeah.
And I think a reasoning for that is because, you know, Endgame is, I mean, that's, if you're going to hop off the ship, that's the best time. Like, the ship is docking with, you know, with Endgame.
Do you think that they can hit Endgame levels again with this next phase? With whatever this mm-hmm. next saga is going to be called? The fucking multiverse saga?
Well, that's kind of leading to like another thesis I had about this phase 4, and that is, it seems pretty directionless, if I'm being honest.
Exactly.
And you know, it's the thing of it is like this. Obviously, No Way Home was a huge banger, but No Way Home in and of itself was the completion of the Peter Parker trilogy in the MCU. It wasn't the beginning of something, it was the ending of something. It ends with Peter beginning a new beginning. Like, obviously, he should have started.
Yeah.
I consider it to be a correction of sorts. But, you know, even still, people wanted to see Toby and Andrew come back. You know, people wanted to see what happens with Tom Holland in the MCU verse. You know, people wanted to see that.
Yeah.
But I don't know, though, if the MCU can give us a solo film, even. Because, like, here's the thing. If they want to just do solo movies that don't necessarily have to lead to anything, mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. I mean, fuck, that's what The Batman was. It's his own pocket solo movie.
The Batman was dope.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
But here's my other concern, because I gave them a pass with my, you know, Infinity War Endgame take about how, you know, it could potentially take another 12 years to build up to something like that. I gave them a pass with that. But here's the thing. Are we going to get another Winter Soldier level movie? That's a solo movie. That was a Captain America movie.
And so far, no. Yeah. As much as I like, you know, No Way Home.
I wouldn't even consider that a solo movie. I mean, even though...
No, yeah. I mean, like, still... Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and Multiverse, I mean, it was okay. Yeah, I wouldn't put it anywhere near the flame of Winter Soldier. Right. So, yeah, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, are we going to get, you know, more bangers like that, you know, moving forward? So there's a lot there to unpack. But let's kind of go back to a little bit to phase 4 feeling directionless, because it sounds like you agree with that as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, it feels directionless because it feels like they're trying too fucking hard. They're planning for so much, dude.
like they're trying to plan this and that character cameo and introducing this name and then putting like putting power behind the rumor of this name. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, while they're balancing this plate over here, they got this other plate over here of fan service. And I'm not talking about your anime hentai level what the fuck tit girl. No, I'm talking about like the fan service of like, okay, yeah, let's put them in this movie. That way we can have the audience pop for that moment, you know? And I won't give any spoilers as to like Multiverse of Madness, but like the Andrew Garfield reveal and the Tobey Maguire reveals, mm-hmm. they were amazing. They were great. And yep. they actually played into the story and helped it out, sure. But how many times can Marvel do that? How many times can that moment pop and help the story? Great example. And this is going to be my spoiler-free mm-hmm. version of bringing up this moment.
Gotcha.
You already know I'm about to bring yep. it up. Because, like, yeah, we see the Multiverse of Madness bring a couple of these moments that are like, oh my gosh, level Easter eggs, mm-hmm. just like the Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire's. And they were pointless.
Yeah.
In fact, it made the movie weaker, in my opinion, as we discussed okay. in the review, you know?
Yeah.
So how many times can we stumble across the same thing because you're too busy trying to, like, dude, like I said earlier, building these movies with the cool new characters, introducing them, set up for the next movie and the next movie, and then also throwing the Easter eggs that the internet guy is like, hey, it looks like the fans really want to see this. Let's put this in there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're trying too hard, bro.
Yeah, that's definitely a symptom of having your focus on the wrong thing, which you could say Marvel's had their focus on the wrong thing for a long time.
Yeah.
I'll give you what I consider this to be really fucking funny, and I know that Marvel doesn't, and probably a lot of MCU stands won't consider this to be funny. I think it's hilarious. Mm. If we go back, Kevin, to 2016... this is when the DCEU was trying to do something, but it was floundering and yeah. flailing terribly, and the MCU was kicking all kinds of ass. Mm-hmm. Kevin Feige got caught with his pants down when someone mentioned to him, well, yeah, it may be true that the MCU is doing so much better, but DC actually gave us a really good solo film featuring a female hero, and the MCU, with all the movies, haven't done that yet. And Kevin Feige got a wild hair up his ass. Mm. And then shortly thereafter, we get the announcement that there's a Captain Marvel movie coming out. And then he goes in this press junket talking about how she's the most powerful of all the heroes, which was a red flag for me because, A, in the comics, she's definitely not. And right. B, you never bothered to say this before by any other character, so why start now?
Yeah, someone who is fearful enough to start pandering, or excuse me, someone who starts pandering in general is showing their fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You say pander, I say panicking.
There's fucking irony to that. Yeah. Like, welcome to saying the same thing, bro. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I always thought it was really funny, but that's just an example of kind of having your priorities not in the right position.
And watch, here's the problem with that, too. Like, that whole mentality is about to get that particular actress removed from the fucking movies. So bitch doesn't even get her own sequel.
Yeah, yeah, she's got to share that shit.
Gal Gadot got a sequel.
Yeah, she got her own sequel.
She got her own sequel.
She's probably going to get another of her own sequel.
Exactly. And guess what? The right. sequel wasn't that bad.
Yeah, and you know what else? It's like, I mean, no disrespect, a little bit disrespect, but Wonder Woman's an iconic character. Kara Danvers is not.
Yeah.
You know,
Carol Danvers is only getting fucked up more and more in the comic books.
Right. So do with that what you will. You can hate me for it or whatever, but it's a fact. You can't compare the legacy of those two characters. It's just, it's not.
Huh? They can't hate us.
I mean, you literally can't be mad at that take, at me saying Wonder Woman is by far the better character, or at least the more popular, well-known character in comparison to Captain Marvel. Like, you...
I was about to say, let's not even be safe, bro. She's the better character.
She is the better character by far. It's not even close.
Brother, if the homies listen to 44 minutes of us bitching about this, they're here for the long run. You got them, okay? Hook, line, and sinker, okay? No offense, homies. We love you guys. Thank you for sticking around.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think, too, by the way. We'd love to hear your thoughts on, like, the Infinity Saga and whether or not you guys believe that the MCU has peaked.
Yeah.
You know, we want to hear feedback. We want to hear what all the dogs and girls out there think, you know? Wow, that was weird. All the dogs and girls. Only your dogs, never the guys. All the girls and their dogs.
Yeah. There it is. There we go.
I want to see your pet at the keyboard. I'm sorry. That was stupid. We want to see what everyone thinks.
So one of my next talking points here is Phase 4, by far, contains the most content. Do you think that it is lackluster?
Bro, I think we just talked about this. Yeah.
And if so, why?
We talked about that too, bro. I say pandering, you say panicking. Pandering?
Panicking.
Pandering?
Panicking.
Panicking?
Pandering.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
Panda bear.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, panda bear. It's the same thing. It's going back to that same well we just discussed from that Marvel's just trying way too much right now, bro. Like, we need to refocus in and go back to quality storytelling and not trying to, you know, do exactly what we were just talking about. Like, making a fan base large enough and diverse enough, you know? That's always good. Make the fan base diverse. Make the fan base large. We love that.
Yeah, make the movies diverse. Use diverse characters to do it, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then use them well.
Yeah.
Yeah. More importantly. Don't just throw a character into the fucking... Again, it goes back to the fucking top of the order, bro. We're back full circle. Don't make up and throw a character into the ring, but the only thing about them is, like, their sexual identity, their race, you know? Their mental health, whatever the case. Like, that's not a fucking character, you know?
Yeah, that is, at best...
That's MacGuffin the drug dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, at best, it's a character trait, which, I mean, a lot of Marvel comics don't even have that. Their characters have quirks. Like, oh, man, look at Magic. She likes to drink coffee. Like, man, I remember reading the original fucking New Mutants back in the day. Man, that shit, she was more than just the quirky coffee-drinking chick.
Right. And I'm like, she wasn't a Starbucks basic bitch. I needed a unicorn latte. What the fuck is that?
Right.
but yeah, you know, the sad thing is, I don't think I made that up. I think that's an actual drink.
I think it is, right? Yeah, or at least it was. Like, maybe it was limited or something. I don't know.
Well, it should be. It's a fucking unicorn. That's rare.
But yeah, so there is something to be said about this, because clearly Marvel is putting out so much content.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, for our comic news episode, we actually went through the laundry list of content that the MCU has coming out on Disney streaming and in movies. And it was such a fucking long list.
The whole segment, yeah.
Yeah, and it just got me thinking that they have all this content coming out, but if you look at just the past year and a half of Disney Plus content that we've gotten... it has a very spotty record already. If you look at the movies that have come out so far in Phase 4, they have a very spotty record. And it's one of those things where it's like, I think that it kind of goes back to what we said earlier about them being directionless more than anything. Because if you look at the early phases of Marvel, worst case scenario, if you got like a bad movie or a decent movie, like, worst case scenario, you will still know, well, at least I know that I'm going to get something at the end that's going to lead to something bigger, that's going to give me anticipation. But look at the ending of Eternals. You get Star Fox, Eros, who shows up, and Pip the Troll, and I'm like, alright. I'm like, Thanos is already dead. You're too late.
Wait, what?
At the end of Eternals, you get Harry Styles, who shows up as Eros.
Bro, you said Star Fox. That's my brain.
That's his superhero name, yes.
My brain went straight to...
Yep.
Yeah. Like, I was starting to think, like, wait, what? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Like, Eros is also known as Star Fox, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, thank you. Because my brain went to, like, fucking Smash Bros. Like, he's going to, like, come in and be, like, ready with the laser gun, just spamming that attack. Yep. And Pikachu spammed me the fucking Thunderbolt. Did you ever play Smash Bros?
No, I never.
Really?
I never really owned that many Nintendo consoles.
Yeah, that's fair. Yep. That's fair. Bro, you know, I gotta give love where love is due. I despise what the game's turned into nowadays.
Mm.
But it works.
Mm.
It ain't fucking bad. Like, it's fun with the right people. There you go.
Well,
I said it.
Well, shit, there okay.
I mean, it makes no sense that Sephiroth's in that bitch. Like, he'd kill everybody. Why the fuck is this a character? He's like
God tier compared to half this. Anyways. Nope. But yeah, anyways. So not Star Fox, but.
Well, he is
Marvel Star Fox. Yes, Marvel Star Fox.
This Star Fox existed before the video game Star Fox, by the way.
I'm sure he did. But.
Jim Starlin has entered the chat.
Right.
But, you know, you look at Shang-Chi and you get just some vague post-credit scene with Captain Marvel and Bruce Banner. And I'm like, all right, what the fuck does this mean?
I don't remember that one.
like
you'd have to tell me all about it to remind me, because I'm just like, I remember the Harry Styles one, because I remember just being upset.
That the girls behind us were like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that pissed me off. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's Harry Styles. Shut the fuck up. You made my popcorn taste like shit. By the way, homies, we have a sweepstakes coming up. Come watch a movie with us.
I tell you what, though, Marvel definitely got what they wanted when they cast Harry Styles as heroes.
Immediately. Just for those three girls behind us, immediately.
Right. They say, you know what, we need to bump up our female demographic some more. Let's put Harry Styles in this.
You know who said that? It was the fucking, it wasn't Mickey Mouse, it wasn't Disney, it wasn't Bob Iger. It was the Mickey Mouse from South Park. Oh, we need to put more little bitches up in this. Stan, shut the fuck up. Where's Cartman at? He knows what I'm about. Oh.
God
damn. I love that version of Mickey Mouse, bro. Yeah. He is so funny. Yeah. Come on, Randy. Fuck the bat.
But, yeah, shout so that was, you know, that was the post-credit scene for Shang-Chi, you know, and, like, when we get to see Captain Marvel and Bruce Banner discussing vague shit that, I mean, ultimately could or could not mean anything. And so I'm like, this doesn't do much of anything for me. You know, we go to No Way Home. Post-credit scene really was more, it was a Sony movie, so it was about Venom.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It was setting up their own branch.
Yeah. Post-credit scene to Multiverse of Madness. We're still very early, so maybe I won't spoil it here, but I'll just say they introduce a new Doctor Strange character, which is cool, but I'm like, in the grand scheme of things, nothing is tying together.
No. It's just growing larger and wider,
mm-hmm.
but it's not feeding and helping each other.
Yeah. Also, how the fuck does, like, Doctor Strange not know about, like, the Eternals or the fact that there was a giant goddamn celestial hovering over Earth, one that was in Earth and got aborted by the Eternals? You know what?
I'm not done
talking about how bad that movie was, by the way. I'm still on your ass, Eternals. I am still on your ass.
Yep.
Anywho... but yeah, so like even the post-credit scenes, man, like they don't have that same feeling of, oh man, yeah.
Man, that's important. Yeah, that hit.
Yeah, know, man, we're getting this next.
No.
They don't have that same.
They've dropped in quality.
Yeah. And I think a part of that comes from maybe, it's hard for me to say that like Marvel doesn't know what they're going to do next, because I'm like, they planned this shit out so far in advance. They have that some kind of idea, but this has been a very clumsy phase. You know, you even look at the TV shows, and it's like, do they or don't they matter for the larger MCU?
I don't know.
It's difficult. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I will say this. You probably still need to watch WandaVision to understand why Wanda is the way that she is in Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, that's fair.
And, you know, people complain about, you know, them making changes to Wanda from the end of WandaVision. I think those changes were definitely for the better.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
The show wasn't perfect, but that was the lead-in to make, you know, the plot line possible for the follow-up movie.
Agreed. It seems like right now they're really, at least I thought originally that Marvel was really anchoring like their big bad on Kang the Conqueror, which, you know, you say Kang the Conqueror, I'm like, I'm down, let's do this. But I got to be honest, I am tired of the multiverse. I am tired of variants.
Good luck, bro.
Yeah, I'm tired of variants.
Bro, fuck variants, man.
you know what?
Fucking stupid to begin with.
Fuck variants in the MCU and fuck variant coverage as well. They're just a fucking ploy to get people to buy more comics. And homies, y'all who buy floppies, stop buying variant covers. You're buying what could be shitty material just because it has a cool cover on it. That's rare. Yep. Stop it.
In fact, chances are it was shitty material and it wasn't selling well, and so they put a variant cover on it.
I mean, Marvel and DC, man, they'll literally do like half a dozen or so variant covers for a book if it's like a key issue. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, but that's also partly keeping the comic book economy afloat. It's sad. But anyways.
Bro, that's a sinking ship. We just call that a sinking
ship. Yeah. But with the Disney Plus shows, I'm not completely sold on them yet. I was really excited in the beginning, you know, simply because, like, they do have an obviously extremely high budget, extraordinarily high budget. I mean, none of them look bad. And, you know, for the most part, they're really well shot. You know, and with WandaVision, that was such a unique and creative show. You know, up until the last episode when they started slinging CG boats at each other. Like, okay, this is the Marvel Disney I know.
There it is.
And, you know.
And they gave that other bitch a TV show.
Oh, yeah. Agatha All Along. That's what I call her now. Her new name is Agatha All Along. But anyway, yeah, with the Loki TV show, we've obviously aired our grievances about that. But the big lead-in is supposed to be about Kang the Conqueror, who we get in the movie that I know you're really looking forward to, Ant-Man 3, Quantumania.
I couldn't hear you.
I said we're getting Kang the Conqueror.
Couldn't hear you.
And Ant-Man 3, Quantumania.
But see, that's... Never mind, not the time.
Fair enough. But yeah, unfortunately, Phase 4 so far to us, or I don't want to speak for you, but I think for me, just to reiterate, my biggest problem with Phase 4 is it has no real direction.
Yeah.
So.
Bro, ask a question that brings some fucking happiness in this. I feel miserable. Like, I'm just talking about all this sad, negative shit, like, oh, Marvel, fuck a duck, you know?
I'm sorry.
There's nothing.
Moving on.
There's nothing.
Moving on.
Oh, bro. All right. Well, let's just rip the bandage.
Shit. I don't even know if I want to ask this one. Bro, it seemed like a good idea. Okay,
we said no foreplay, but I feel like that was foreplay. What's up, bro? Hit me. Let me hear it.
Do you think the MCU is guilty of inserting ideological propaganda and or bait and switch techniques?
Man, we sure do love comics. Let me explain why that's shit.
Now, let me explain. Bro. Okay, fuck. So, okay, repeat the full breadth of the question. Bait and switch, what's up?
Is Marvel guilty of inserting ideological propaganda and or bait and switch techniques?
So, define...
Bait and switch?
No. Define ideological properties. Like it, by what? What your... Define what you're asking in your question. Because complicated answer, yes and no. I'm going to withhold until you give me a definition, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so by ideological propaganda, I mean, do you feel like they are trying to push some sort of social commentary ahead of everything else?
Gotcha. Here's... the truth, and it should be no surprise to any homie listening, because we've said this in so many words, it's just going to sound ridiculous. So bear with me. I promise you, the roller coaster is not eternal, okay? So much no that yes.
So much no that yes.
So much no, we're not going to bait and switch, we're not going to propaganda this, and we're not going to, we're not going to, you know, push this or that on people. Instead, we're going to be so much not doing that, that we're going to push this other stuff on people. And we're going to do so hard that even if another fucking country says, hey, we can't show your movie here unless you take out this pro-homosexual scenery in this one segment of movie that totally didn't really fucking make the movie that much better or worse at all... I lost where I was going with that.
It's fine.
You get the fucking point. Yeah. Thank you.
I will say this also. Fuck China. Continue.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't just China. Yeah. It was another country, too.
Fuck Saudi Arabia.
There you go. Yeah. Now we're all caught up on fucks. Right. So, but yeah, bro. Like, I mean, I was kind of joking there, homies. But at the same time, was I really? Because Disney, again, they're trying to steer so far left that they just went to the other degree so fucking hard they ended up turning right. You know? It's still a fucking circle, people. So what happens if you turn left 3 times? You just took too much energy turning fucking right.
Right.
And you wasted gas. But yeah, no, I mean, to stop being silly here, unfortunately, yes, the outcome of what Marvel's doing is pushing a propaganda. Now, it is supposedly a liberal-fueled propaganda. That was more difficult to say than it should have been. But it is nevertheless Marvel pushing something, you know? Honestly, the way, just to get to like a fun part of this that I can steer a potentially positive, different outlook on, to continue your question, the only way at this point that they could stop and basically stop giving a fuck about pushing any propaganda up, down, yes, no, you know, hetero, homo, whatever, whatever on the spectrum even, whatever on the race even, they just fucking make movies. They don't care. This protagonist is gay. Cool, whatever. Did that matter for the story? Then we won't even talk about it. Okay, this protagonist is gay. It mattered to the story? Fuck yeah, awesome. Let's talk about it.
Right.
That protagonist is black. Did it matter for the story? Awesome. Let's highlight that, you know? This protagonist is Latina. Okay, it mattered to the story. Sweet. Or what they're doing now, this protagonist is Latina. She's the main powerhouse of the movie. She's so fucking American. Her name's America, and she punches stars. And her power, ironically, just got made into a meme about being the perfect border cross agent. And oh, wait, now we went so far left we became political. Does anyone out there also hear what we're saying? Can the bridge be gapped by you listening right now, you know? It's like, so excuse me, to finally get back here to home to answer your question, ultimately, yes. Yes, they are. Now, you asked a two-parter there about pushing a propaganda, pushing a mentality, an agenda of sorts. What was the second part? The bait and switch.
Right.
Now, do us a favor, and same rules. Go ahead and define that as to what you mean for your question.
When they assumedly promise you one thing and then deliver something else, an example would be like, I guess this, because this movie's in my mind. Like, sure. Let's say, for example, that The Batman, we sit down to watch it, and then 45 minutes into it, realize this is actually more of a Catwoman movie than Batman.
Yeah, I gotcha.
That would be a bait and switch.
To be fair, because you and I are podcasters and we like actually sit down and have an organized time where we preview and talk about what the movie could give us, yes, we get bait and switched so much more. But that's because we're the dumbass fishes who grab the hook, we analyze the hook, we talk about what we see on the hook, we talk about the trailer the hook gave us, and then we bite on.
Right.
So, yes, you and I get bait and switched a lot. Now, whether or not the homies out there watching get baited and switched, I think that's where it becomes ignorance is bliss.
I agree.
Yeah. Like, if you didn't know any better, then you're happy with the earthworm that was on the bait tackle.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, that was the fucking quote. Oh, my gosh. My brain just had a smart moment and I forgot it. It was,
The irony. The movie. My brain just had a smart moment, but I forgot.
Yes, but the movie, the story, the book. Oh, the green peer. Her name was Dolly? No, fuck.
Parton.
No, what? No, fuck you. Oh my gosh.
The Darlene. Great Gatsby. Okay.
The Great Gatsby. It's like the chick in The Great Gatsby. I can't remember her name, but she's like, oh, I want my daughter to be a beautiful idiot. Same thing. Yep. Same thing here. It's like same metaphor can be applied to this, where it's like, oh, I want these moviegoers to enjoy them as fun-loving idiots. Because then every movie's a banger.
Yeah.
Because then every movie's amazing. Man, did you see Eternals, bro? Them laser eyes? Cool as fuck. Tell me you haven't seen that before. And at least that, at least the idiot's happy. Mm-hmm. You and I walk out of that movie like, what the fuck was that? Man, we got a podcast on that shit.
By the way, if you enjoy the Eternals, that does not mean you're an idiot. We are not saying that. Just to be clear.
There's your bait and tackle. But no. What are your thoughts on these questions, though? I've rambled for a minute and more.
So, I mean, to no surprise, my answers are yes and no. I do think that there are definitely examples of Marvel inserting ideological or social propaganda,
yeah,
as well as the bait and switch. But I don't think it is as prevalent as a lot of MCU haters say it is.
That's actually very fair. That's very true.
Yeah. So, I'll preface with this, man. Like, there's this constant argument that I see online that I try to fucking avoid because I can't stand it. But there are a subset of people out there who really enjoy today's modern comics. And whenever they're, I would say, approached by someone who doesn't like today's overall comic market, obviously there's some really good stuff coming out still. I mean, yeah, all of it's not shit, guys, all right? There is a fair bit of it that is still pretty good. There's still some really good writers out there. But, you know, just as a whole, whenever the people who like modern comics are being challenged by somebody who doesn't like today's modern product, the example they typically tend to give is, oh, man, well, you don't know about, like, the origins of the X-Men, or don't you know about, like, Captain Marvel back in the day punching Hitler? Like, comic books have always been, you know, they've always, you know, pushed, you know, certain beliefs or ideologies. They've always been, you know, politically left-leaning and whatnot. And, you know, my response to that is you are partially correct. Emphasis on the word partial. It's important to remember that the X-Men didn't become, quote-unquote, radicalized until the Chris Claremont era. Stan and Jack didn't do any of that with them. Yeah. And as far as Captain America goes, Hitler was unanimously known as a fucking evil human being. So it's not like you're taking this wild radical stance by having Captain America punch Hitler. I mean,
you know what still astounds me?
About the doc? Oh, we watched the doc on comic books a few weeks ago. But, you know, go ahead.
No. Yeah. Oh, no. Okay, yeah, you read my mind then. Like, okay. Because, like, what you said, I wasn't expecting because I was skipping the idea that I got this bit of history from the documentary and going straight to what the information was, i.e. in reference to, you know,
Slugfest.
Yeah, the Hitler sympathizers. Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry, the what?
Right.
What? Did you, like, what?
Which, you know what, to be honest, there was so much shady information in that doc, I need to go look that up.
That's fair. That's fair. The documentary was definitely a very, like, 2 out of 5 documentary.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our review of that doc was much better, by the way. You guys should check it out.
Yeah.
But no, I would also say this, and that is like, if you go back to what I consider to be like my personal golden age, quote unquote, of comics, it would be like from the mid 80s through the mid 90s, where we got the uprise of guys like Chris Claremont or Alan Moore, Neil Gaiman, Frank Miller. Those are not only 4 of the greatest comic book writers, in my opinion, but those are 4 of the most progressive comic book writers of all time. Those guys were writing really progressive and unique stories ahead of their time, and they sold like hotcakes. So then the question begs, why do comics today struggle so much when they're doing the same thing? And the answer is much more simple than I thought it was. I spent way too much time thinking about something that has such a simple solution. That's just simple. Your Frank Millers, your Neil Gaimans, your Alan Moores, Chris Claremonts, and whatnot, they put the ideologies in the backdrop, but those guys are also creative enough to create really cool stories with fascinating characters, yeah, and moving set pieces, while so many of today's writers only know how to do self-inserts or how to project their social ideologies onto the characters. They don't know how to write those characters.
Great example. What's that one bitch's name? You know who I'm thinking of.
Mariko Tomasi? I am not Starfire. You're thinking about her?
Yes. Okay, yeah.
Yes. Thank you for having a brain reading power. Because you knew exactly who I meant when I said, what's that one bitch's name? Because that's like, if you need to know what Q meant by self-insertion, go pick up and don't read. But look at the issue of I am not
Starfire.
I am not Starfire. No. What a stupid concept.
Oh, man. It's like, I really do try so hard to tell myself, this is a YA book, Q. It's clearly not for you. It's not your demo. Leave it alone. That's really fucking dumb, though. but there are other examples of self-inserts, too. A common theme now that I love that people picked up on, Tom King, who most of you may know him from his Batman run. It's probably like the biggest project he was on a few years ago. But anything you read written by Tom King, this was so hilarious, by the way. I just saw a picture from a comic book panel. I didn't see a name. I didn't see the crew was working on it. I just looked at the picture, and my very first instinct was, looks like Tom King. And then I started scrolling, and I went back and I said, let me see if that really is Tom King. And it was. It was. And what I'm getting at is that Tom King always has these predicaments where his male protagonist becomes simps for the women in the book, where they just break down and they can't function and they don't know what to do. And there's this weird kind of Oedipus complex where, like, the woman almost seems like a motherly figure, but they're lovers, but the man is always beneath her and he's groveling and the woman is keeping him together. It's in every single goddamn Tom King book. It's really fucking weird. And I think that's a self projection. And like, we don't need to know this much about your life, bud.
That's creepy.
It is.
It's also creepy because like the Tom King book I'm comparing it to, the one I've read, it's the Batman one over here.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh fuck. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah. He does it with his Vision book. He does it with his Mr. Miracle book. He did it with the Rorschach book.
Maybe he needs to stop writing for guys.
Maybe so. And well, he'll still have that dynamic. You know, it'll just it'll still be in there. But no. As far as like the movies go with their ideological propaganda or whatnot, or their social commentary in movies, I think the same thing applies. To be honest. It's not a matter of if you put it in your movie or not, because a lot of those messagings are, you know, very important and very cool if you can layer it properly.
Yeah.
The issue comes with, where are your priorities? Are you prioritizing telling a cool and unique story with characters who have depth? Or are you prioritizing first the message? If you're putting the message above all else, you're setting your product up to fail. You're putting a glass ceiling on how good your movie or your TV show can be.
Right.
But if you put it in the backdrop, if you truly feel that you're as talented as the writers I mentioned earlier, then you'll be able to carefully put it in your backdrop to Damon Lindelof with the Watchmen TV show. I think that's a perfect example.
Yes. Oh my gosh, bro.
Yeah.
What a fucking impactful example.
Yeah.
Motherfucker picked up a book and said, is this true? Is this bit of history fucking true?
Yeah.
Got greenlit for the project of Watchmen and said, bro, I'm going to tell the story, but I'm going to tell that too. Yeah. I'm going to do two fucking stories in one show.
Right.
And it was beautiful, Quentin. It was such a good fucking story.
As somebody who's read The Watchmen more than anyone who I personally know, I thought it was fantastic. Dude, on multiple amazing. Levels.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to say, that's probably the bar set for having social ideologies and legit history, you know, infused with your superhero content.
Yes. And that's the thing. That was legit history that was just as impactful and like, oh, fuck. Like, I need to know about this.
Yeah.
That as much as any of the propaganda that half of these products, like these movies and TV shows, are trying to push.
Yeah.
And guess what? He did it. Say his name one more time, celebrate him.
Damon Lindelof.
Damon Lindelof, thank you. Damon Lindelof did it by not making it the forefront of his story.
Right.
No.
Yeah. So it just really makes you...
What the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah, so it can definitely be done, you know, so don't say that it can't be done. It can, and it has. and it'll be done again.
Now here's the thing, Q. Here's the thing, because we have to be brutally honest as much with ourselves as we are with the content that we care so deeply for. You and I are not professional writers. We did not go to school for this. We did not give a single fuck about this growing up. It wasn't until more recent years that we decided that we were fans enough to start a podcast where we, you know, spoke about this over the mics, you know, pros, cons, passions, and mistakes and all.
Right.
I'm not saying that we understand story writing structure better than professionals who can write stories, right? Who can write stories professionally. But I will say this. Why aren't more people aware of this? Like, it seems blatant. It seems like textbook, hey, don't do this with your story. Do this instead.
So, I will say if I could challenge your viewpoint, but this isn't even a challenge, really. I'm not challenging
I was about to say, because bro, I don't know. I ain't no writer. I just know how much content we've taken in.
I was just going to follow that up by saying that if I could be so bold, I think that you're giving a lot of these writers too much credit. A lot of them don't have these fancy writing credits or degrees.
I mean, you're potentially right. Potentially right.
The ones who do typically do better. The ones who do, you don't hear me shit. The ones who do have those credits are on my shelves.
Yeah. Well, here's the bigger question. Here's the bigger problem. And I guess, I mean, this as much comedically as I do seriously, 50-50, but how the fuck do they get their job?
It's about who you know. It's about who you know and what you think. It's about keeping that echo chamber alive, buddy.
Fuck that echo chamber. Fuck, fuck who you know. What the fuck? I know the wrong people.
Right? Oh, well. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, as far as, like, the bait and switch techniques go, I think that this is being blown out of proportion, too. And this is coming from someone who is very sensitive to the bait and switch, because I cannot fucking stand a bait and switch. These companies know what they're doing when they promote one thing and then the actual product is something completely different. Right. Case in point, a good example. Sorry, Kevin Smith, I love you, buddy, but I gotta roast you right quick. He did the new He-Man TV show on Netflix.
Oh, what a fucking yeah!
Yeah, I watched the first 5 episodes of that, and yeah, it's been out for a long time now. So I guess spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, but it's completely a bait and switch. It is not He-Man. It is the Teela show. He-Man basically gets killed in episode 1, and Teela, who. It'd be different even if she wasn't so insufferable, but she's awful. And, yeah, it's about her and her ventures. And it's like, the simple solution to that would just be to call the show Teela and the Masters of the Universe. You know, make it known. But, and again, I hate to shit on Kevin Smith, because I think he's a good guy, but there's no two ways around it. He kind of flat out lied, you know, when he was called out on it. Saying, no, this is definitely a He-Man TV show. He-Man is definitely the star of the show. No, he's fucking not.
Yeah.
That's a bait and switch.
Yeah.
I don't think that the MCU does that nearly as much as what a lot of MCU haters say they do. A lot of people say that that it was done in the Hawkeye TV show. I couldn't disagree more. I thought they were going to do that in the Hawkeye TV show. They did not.
They could have done it way more.
Kate Bishop was an actual fucking character. I've said it before, I say it again. She's better in the TV show than she is in the comic books. She actually makes mistakes. She's a kid. She has flaws. She has a lot to learn. And you see in several areas where Clint Barton is clearly the superior.
Yeah.
They don't try to make it like she's better than him. That she's not a Captain Marvel with the bow and arrow. You know, she's not insufferable and all powerful.
Right.
You know, she's very likable. She's very relatable. She was a very good element of the show. And the whole show was about Clint Barton redeeming his name for the shit he did while he was Ronin.
Yeah.
It's about Clint. It just so happens to be that she's also there. Kate Bishop is also there.
Yeah.
That was not a bait and switch, guys. I'm sorry. Another This was another weird one for me. They said that a lot of MCU haters say that Doctor Strange is a bait and switch. I disagree with that one, too.
I can see their point of view more with Doctor Strange.
How so? I want to hear this.
I mean, I can see where they're coming from. Mm. I don't agree with it. Mm. I can see where they're coming from, though, where it's like he didn't. In his own movie, he wasn't much of anything without. I can't say that. That's not true. I don't know. It's difficult, but it didn't feel like he was the most important thing in his own movie.
Really? Because yeah. It felt like he was in damn near every scene.
Yeah. No, he was definitely in every scene. He wasn't Sorcerer Supreme.
But he still acted as such. Wong sure didn't.
Yeah, no. Wong was just holding it over his dumb head. Yeah.
I'll put it like this. Yeah. Doctor Strange 2 was more of a Doctor Strange movie than Civil War was a Captain America movie.
Oh, that's fair. Oh, that's totally fair. Yeah. Yeah. Civil War was purely, hey, there's going to be a big fight later.
Civil War.
You want to watch the fight?
Civil War is Avengers 2.5. Like, if we're going to be honest about it, that's what it is.
Hey, look at these two characters. They're coming in. You want to watch the fight later? They'll be in the fight too. Yeah.
I mean, hey, you know, I've only seen Doctor Strange 2 once. Maybe there's something I'm missing. Maybe there are elements of bait and switch there. But I was actually surprised that there wasn't more, woman representation in the movie. Like I was pleasantly surprised at how much Doctor Strange I got in a Doctor Strange movie. I don't know.
Not that the representation would have been bad.
No, none of it would have been bad, but in a Doctor Strange movie, you need to show me Doctor Strange. You know, that's who needs to be front and center. You know, like that's your marquee character. That's who you're marketing. That's who people are paying the money to go see. So that's who we need to see. And I think it's extremely ridiculous to say that, you know, that this is a Wanda movie. That's, you know, that's kind of like saying, that's almost like saying, man, I didn't like Avengers 1 because Loki was the main character. No, Loki was the villain. The fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Do you not want a fleshed out antagonist or I don't know. Do you want another Ronin the Accuser or, you know, you want another Yellow Jacket? Like, what are we talking about here? I will say, those are examples that I think that people misconstrue, in my opinion. Like, I don't think that Hawkeye or Doctor Strange are, these egregious examples of bait and switching. Unfortunately, I do think there are elements of that in Moon Knight. I didn't want there to be. But with Moon Knight, by the time we get to that last episode, man, it just becomes, there's a lot of cringe in that last episode. And there's just not nearly enough. There's such a disconnect that in the last episode, I wish that they went more with the comic accurate version of Mark Spector, more so than the version that they made for the TV show.
I gotcha.
It made me kind of want to eat my words that I said in our review for the first two episodes. You know, in the first two episodes, I applauded Marvel for making such drastic changes to the character. But by the time I got to episode 6, I was like, you know what? Maybe they should have stuck with the canon. The ending, it wasn't like god-awful, but man, it wasn't great either. They introduced another new superhero who is super fucking obscure. But then again, to most of the audience, assumingly most of the audience, Moon Knight was a really obscure character to most of them. So I guess Marvel figured, why not throw another one in here? I don't know, man. Moon Knight definitely had elements of bait and switching. But as far as that goes, that's the only one in recent history I can think of that has done bait and switch. Yeah. Ant-Man and Wasp, that was a bit of a bait and switch because Wasp was definitely... Wasp was all you needed in that movie. Ant-Man didn't do fuck all, to be honest.
No, Ant-Man was...
He turned giant and passed out. And then he went to the quantum realm.
A bitch.
I'll go ahead and say this. I'll be surprised if Thor 4 is not a bait and switch.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I mean, it's... and also, not to go off on a Thor tangent, but how many times does Thor have to go off and find himself? I feel like he's doing that in every movie. So, how often is he going to have to learn whatever fucking lesson it is he has to learn? They just refuse to let this man be a god of thunder and not a joke. And I would be pleasantly surprised if he doesn't get overshadowed in his own movie. But no, 1,000% Jane Foster is going to be like just a superb version of Thor than Thor. And I think that would be a bait and switch, but time will tell with Thor.
Well, this has been depressing.
This one is more of a hypothetical because we'll never know, but I thought it'd be fun to talk about. What do you think the MCU would look like if the Fox merger never happened?
Wow. Andrew Garfield would be making a lot more money.
Yeah, that's probably true. They'd probably be like, hey, Sony, can we lean on you a little bit more, please?
Fuck. There'd be a lot more pissed off fans because there'd be a whole subsection of Reddit literally labeled Bring Spidey In or some shit like that. And it'd be like literally just people just like, constantly throwing off fanboy theories and like, hey, what if they... And there'd be so much awkward dancing around too. Mm. You know, because eventually Marvel would have to get to the storytelling that had Spider-Man in it. And so now another a different character would feel that caveat.
Well, just to be clear, Spider-Man is Sony.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. Like Marvel would literally be writing out movies like Disney and the MCU would be like writing out movies where... Spider-Man was clearly in the story, but he won't be in the movie, and they'll have a different character filling out the caveat.
Wait, why would that be?
Because Disney wouldn't have access to the character.
No, we're not talking about Sony, we're talking about Fox. You know, Fox is like X-Men, Fantastic Four, all of them.
Oh, then that case, I mean, right now, fuck, what would be different? Yeah, right now I'm having a hard time seeing... Well, I guess... Yeah, I don't know what'd be different right now, bro. Because we haven't really seen much of fruition from that.
Yeah, but the question is about, like, what do you think the MCU will look like without... Because we know now that it's going to look like the X-Men and Fantastic Four. That's who they're leaning on.
Yeah.
But as it stands, I think that right now, obviously, we don't get Kingpin and Hawkeye. We don't get Matt Murdock. We don't get that sighting. We don't get... and Multiverse of Madness, you know, so there's a lot of those little appearances that we don't get. But in the grand scheme of things, what I was more thinking about was what the fuck do they do? Because clearly right now, when people think about the future of the MCU, they're thinking about, oh man, I can't wait to see these Fox characters, Fox characters. Nobody's thinking about, I can't wait to see what fucking Kamala Khan does. So I'm curious, like, what in the fuck would the MCU look like if this merger never happened? They wouldn't be shaping up to bring in mutants. They'd be shaping up to do who the fuck knows what.
No, it wouldn't look... Wow. That's a positive thing. It wouldn't look near as fruitful as it does now. Because now there's a lot of wells that they can draw from.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the big pro that they got going for them because they have so much Marvel content to dig from. Whether or not they keep it as OG material or they rewrite it into, you know, better, easier to use on the big screen material, whatever the case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Simple.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because, like, the more I think about it, it's like, I don't know what the fuck they would do if they didn't have that Fox merger. Like, you now realize that they fucking needed that.
Yeah.
They need the X-Men. They need the Fantastic Four. They already had the rights to Ghost Rider, but, like, they fucking need him, too.
Yeah.
Like, they need everything they can get. That's what this current phase has really shown me. They need that shit.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this one last one. We can kind of end off on this one. Mm. What does Phase 5 need to do to restore your faith and confidence?
I mean, we talked about that a fair bit, too. But we'll go ahead and end on that note for sure, where it's like they need to... Let's basically reiterate what we've been talking about tonight, because it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be a conclusionary discussion, but also... a good wrap-up, which will also conveniently answer your question. They need to stop pandering. They need to stop pandering. They need to stop focusing on that. They need to stop putting energy to it. They need to stop, like, reacting fearfully to their audience and just write good fucking stories. They need to stop putting propaganda, their agendas, their look at us being super liberal and super, super open-mindedness in the forefront of their storytelling, in the comics definitely, and... let that shit be the backdrop and focus on the storytelling and let that be the accentuating factor behind a character and actually have a fucking character and not a faceplate that says, hey, look, I'm queer too. Or, hey, look, I'm black too, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever the case. That's a couple of easy directions. They need to have, I don't know. They just need to have fucking focus, man. Because right now, the movies are fun, but again, like if they don't get that focus up, they're going to get more and more of the audience to be just like burnt out and tired of this shit, you know? And frankly, they're going to lose a lot of money doing that if they don't obviously fucking understand what we're saying yet.
Right.
Yeah. In case someone in the staff is listening, this is how you lose the fucking money. This is how you can't cut the checks anymore. So... I don't know. It'd be just tighten the fuck up and limit yourself. I would even suggest, like, pick the stories that you want to tell in the overarching phase and then shut everything else out. Mm-hmm. And then get what you need to creatively and powerfully tell that story and get to that point. Done. Yeah. Sweet. Wrap it up. Cut the check. You're cool. You're done. Sweet. Stop trying to rope in... Easter egg from Doctor Strange. Stop trying to rope in Kamala Khan and the Marvels for whatever reason at this point, because I can't even fathom what the fuck they're going to do. Stop trying to rope in Thor not wanting to be Thor. Mm-hmm. Stop trying to rope in, you know, the multiversal, oh, this Spider-Man is doing that, which that Venom's doing this, and then now we have three Spider-Man, and technically they've all been in the MCU now. Like, that's fun, that's cool, but that complicates the story. Much more than it can withstand. Mm.
Yeah, I remember seeing something that a casual fan stated, which really got me thinking that Marvel may need to look into changing something, and that is a casual fan made the statement that he said something to the effect of, I enjoy Marvel as it is now, but... I got to be honest, with the multiverse being a thing now, the stakes feel really low.
Yeah.
Because at any point, they could bring a character back from a different universe and problem solved.
Which is stupid. They better not. Like, I never want to see Iron Man on the big screen again. We're done with him. It's cool. Mm-hmm. Let him have his awesome ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's one thing if, like, you or I say it, but to hear a casual fan say that,
yeah,
I think that Marvel may realize they have opened Pandora's box, and it's going to be hard to close that motherfucker.
I don't think they realize it.
Hmm.
I don't think they do. I think they, you know, going with your imagery, I think they opened it, and they're still staring into it. Why are we losing numbers, you know?
Yeah. I can tell you this, man. Nothing will cause... conglomerate like Disney to change direction more so than losing revenue. Yeah. And while they can blame the beginning of it on the pandemic, moving forward, I'd be very curious to see what a movie like The Eternals would do in a, I guess, a post-pandemic world, or in a world where theaters are open, you know, fully. I'd be very curious to see what those numbers will look like. You know, I'm very curious to see what, like, the next slate of Marvel movies look like, which, by the way, most of them are being dependent on previous characters. You know, Thor, obviously, he's from the first three phases. Ant-Man is from the first three phases. You know, Black Panther 2, whatever that's going to be about, people know it from, you know, the Infinity Saga. You know, so most of their movies aren't going to be introducing new original IPs. Most of them are going to be relying on characters or settings that people are already familiar with. Yeah. I want to know what the MCU can do with new properties. Do the casual fans still care enough to go see a movie about an obscure character who they know next to nothing about? That's what I want to
know.
That's
a tough gamble.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess in conclusion, like for me, what does Phase 5 need to do to like more fully restore my confidence or my faith in them? Here's the thing. I got to be honest. I am not opposed to them putting in like their social ideologies or whatnot, because I agree with a lot of that shit.
Yeah.
My problem is that it just shouldn't be the overbearing factor in the movie. It shouldn't be the driving force for your movie or TV show. It should, just like all those talented writers I named earlier, they should put them in the backdrop.
Yeah.
And then you should let your strong storytelling deliver it. Remember when we watched Black Widow right over there on the couch, and you and I both laughed at the most cringeworthy line? It was their mustache trolling villain who was giving his quote unquote epic monologue, and he said something to the effect of, "So I decided to invest in the world's best commodity, girls." And I was like, holy shit, how did that make it into the movie?
Yeah.
That was something that he said in a final take on a movie.
Yeah. He got paid to say that.
Got paid to say that. And no one saw a problem with that cringe.
No one realized
line.
How trash that was, apparently. Yeah.
I was like, how fucking garbage is that line? Did they do a second draft in the dialogue there?
You and I both reacted to that. Not at all like they wanted. Right.
I'm like, I don't think that this is the reaction you guys wanted from us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, you know, in terms, just one more time, in terms of like their you know, political leanings or their social ideologies, again, I don't have a problem. Like, you know, keep can continue to put that in your movies, just it shouldn't be in the forefront.
Yeah.
Keep that shit, like, you know, in the backdrop carefully and tactfully. So that when it does arise, it means something. And make characters first. You know, you don't make them just whatever kind of representation you want them to be and then call it a character. Kind of like what you said earlier.
Yeah.
But, you know, aside from that, because I think relatively speaking, that is more of a small thing. I think that they more or less would realize that that's something that they need to do.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I make a face?
A little bit of a face. Okay. Yep.
I totally believe you.
I mean, because I think that more times than not, at least in the original Infinity Saga, they did a pretty decent job of that. It's really with Phase 4 where they've been kind of slipping down the slope. And also that cringeworthy moment in Endgame. We don't need to talk about that. But other than that, they need to get some direction. They need to focus on what they want to do for these next phases. They need to know what their game plan is. Is it going to be Kang the Conqueror? All right, then let's go all in on that, and let's have this somehow rope in to Kang the Conqueror. Let's have all these movies tie in together. Do they want to do Secret Wars? If you want to do Secret Wars, then okay, let's do that. But then let's have the general focus be on Secret Wars. Let's have everything lead and point towards that. Right now, the MCU isn't leading or pointing towards anything. And I guess one more thing for me would be they need to focus on, quality over quantity. I understand that they have the Disney Plus streaming service now and that they need to fill certain dates with TV shows or whatnot. But if you just oversaturate the market with mid-content, then ultimately you're not doing yourself or the fan base a favor.
Get a mid-response.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not doing anyone a favor, including yourself, Disney. But yeah, so I think those would be like my response to what they need to do. Just obviously focus on quality over quantity, because right now they just have way too many irons and way too many fires. I remember being excited, really excited about an MCU project when we only got two or three a year, but now we get like three TV shows a year, four movies, and a partridge in a pear tree. And it's like, this is so much. I can't eat all this. But yeah, so just figure out a way to make things exciting again. Have focus and direction. Have a proper and good use of your characters and for your social ideologies. And I think that you can once again restore yourself to your former glory. And who knows, man, maybe in another 5 years they can build up to something as epic as Endgame. We'll see. You got any closing thoughts for this one?
We'll see.
We will see if you have any closing thoughts for this one.
No, okay. I was saying that more in reference to, like, we'll see if Marvel can spin this around.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my optimism is weaker. We'll see.
I think they can. I think they can. And, you know, money speaks louder than anything. Yeah.
I hope you're right. We'll see. But unfortunately, I'm still a firm believer in the philosophy of patterns, you know? And unfortunately, like, everything comes full circle eventually, you know?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it has to be soon.
Yeah.
Hopefully they could postpone that circle, make it bigger, and keep going around successfully, you know?
Right.
But we'll see.
Yeah. I don't think Kevin Feige is a perfect man by any measure. But I don't think that he's going to let the
I hope ship... no one out there thinks he is.
Right.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
that's
a
fanboy.
Yeah. And but I don't think that he will allow it to sink while he's still in charge. At least hopefully not. But no, he's the main one who needs to hear this because he's the one who decides what gets put in what.
Well, you know he stopped his subscription to his podcasting service.
Oh man, what?
You got tired of shitting on the on same him? Ones. Yeah, the same movies.
It's
you got tired of I know Winter Soldier was really good. Shut the fuck up.
I can't get the Russos back, all right. They said they'd only come back if we do Secret Wars, and we don't know if we're gonna do that yet.
We have no idea yet, man. It's a secret.
It's a secret, all right. You know how hard it is to keep a war secret? That's what we're doing right now. Okay, that's going to be all for this, homies. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this, the state of the MCU. Sometime, probably sooner rather than later, we have to do a state of the DCEU and talk about all the shenanigans going on over there.
That's
going
to be a much shorter episode. 45 minutes in, and I'm done. I got no comments.
Oh, shit. But that's going to be all for this, homies. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. If so, please feel free to leave us a review. Those reviews always help us out a whole lot. Preferably those 5 stars, you know. Mm-hmm. You know you like it. Give us 6 stars if possible.
Yeah.
Actually, don't do that because it may revert you just to 1 star. We don't need that.
Or that just reverts to 2-3-star reviews. Yeah. Not,
right.
Which is not as good as you think it might be. Doesn't
right.
help.
But that's going to be all for this one, guys. We will see you again next time. But until then, my name is Superhero Homie Q.
And I am Superhero Homie Kevin.